My boss hit my line with an angry text saying something about B90X. I said, wrestling. I'm going to wrestling. Then my phone blew up with a couple alarms. I got bets to make. I got worms to farm. I said, wrestling. I'm going to wrestling. I'm a wrestling son of a bitch from a worm farm down on the Mississippi. And if you got a problem with the way I live, you could catch a chest chop then a super kick. Yeah, R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling. R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
I don't know where you are in the world. I am, I've been many places. I grew up in Mississippi. But as of right now, I put my head to pillow every night in New Jersey. On the East Coast here in the New York metropolitan area, I come into Manhattan to record this show every single week. But right now, my corner of the world that I inhabit at this moment is absolutely deluged and inundated with snow. It's the most snow I've ever seen. We're up to about 2 feet of snow right now, and there's no real end in sight. So it's kind of changed the way we've been doing things around Barstool the last couple of days. It's a snowstorm. I've never really been through a snowstorm. Everybody here has been through one. Not a big deal to them. But it's these days. A lot of people aren't here. And usually I would be home too. It's these days where something like the WWE Network is such a godsend. Because as we built up to the Rumble, I watched every Rumble in the world. I've watched 25 Rumbles over the last 2 weeks. And now just a nice snowy day where you can put an In Your House on, or you can put an old SummerSlam on, or you can start your march to WrestleMania. It's just incredible. It feeds into the nostalgia. It feeds into everything that makes us a fan of this sport. It makes us just happy to be a wrestling fan. And now, this show we're about to do, we're going to talk about my favorite event of the year, which just happened, the WWE Royal Rumble. And we'll have a lot of other stuff to get to, but it was a great event. And I'm ready to go. Aria, let's go. His comeback was cut short when he got hurt right after WrestleMania, the big match at the April pay-per-view with Randy Orton. So he was out for another year almost. And he returned this week, Edge, 47 years old, and goes front to back in the Rumble. I personally enjoyed it. I liked the decision. It was different. You know, different doesn't always mean younger. Different doesn't always mean newer. Different just means a storyline that makes a lot of sense in this case. Different means giving us something that we haven't seen before. And Edge going, the grizzled veteran, going front to back in the Rumble, going start to end, pillar to post, was quite a story. But we will get to the Royal Rumble in just a second. My thoughts, my disdain for the internet reaction, as always, I want to talk about that. We'll have our we just made the list in just a minute, but we will also talk about what's happening in NXT, AEW, WWE, the world of professional wrestling. After we talk about our top five this week, we'll get to your voicemails. We will get to your emails. And right at the top, I've got to tell you that on the strength of having three of the greatest guests you can have in wrestling, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Tony Khan, and WWE Champion Drew McIntyre, this week there is no guest on wrestling. It is just going to be me. That will be a rarity going forward. We're going to try to have a guest as often as we possibly can. With the Royal Rumble timing, it was difficult this week because we record on Monday, so it only gives us about 24 hours to turn something around. But I am excited to tell you that I believe the guest next week will make up for it. From what we're talking, from who we're talking to, it is believed that we will have somebody very important in the world of professional wrestling next week. But as it is time to reflect on the Royal Rumble. I have said time and again, favorite event of the entire calendar. And this one really, to me, lived up to expectations. It's getting a lot of mileage online. It's kind of a divisive show online. Some people love it. Some people don't like it. And those people that don't like it seem determined, bound and determined to not like it. Like you have to go out of your way to not like it. And that's what I don't understand. I don't understand why anybody would approach a wrestling show hoping to not like it, or at least trying to achieve dislike. That's weird to me. I want to achieve liking something every time I watch it. I never want to watch something and say, well, At least I get to say I didn't like it. No, I want to be entertained. I was entertained. This Royal Rumble, I thought, was really good. We'll start with my thoughts on the Rumble itself, the pay-per-view, not the actual match. We'll start with my thoughts on that, and then we'll get to the online reaction in just a second. So you had an event with two Rumble matches. Obviously, Bianca Belair wins the women's Rumble from the number three spot. Edge wins from the number one spot on the men's side. Let's start at the very beginning of the show, because I said last week, I'm not really down for Drew versus Goldberg, but if you do give it to me short, give it to me sweet, and have Drew win and continue being the best WWE champion in years. And that's exactly what we got. Goldberg hit a couple spears. He hit a jackhammer. Drew sold the ribs. He sold the jackhammer. But then ultimately he kicked out. He got the claymore. He got the moves he needed to get. He knocked Goldberg down. He wins the match in about 2.5 minutes with an extra two, maybe a minute and a half outside the ring before the match. But very quick, very wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Drew McIntyre is a great champion. He is somebody that deserves to hold the belt. And this was just kind of a roadblock to him. Goldberg, they did the post-match handshake, respect, and sold the story that Drew McIntyre earned Goldberg's respect by passing the test. No harm, no foul. That's exactly how a guy like Goldberg should be used. He shouldn't be going to WrestleMania as the champion. He should be used to show how iconic your current champion could be. So I like it. It was a fine piece of business. I didn't like getting there. I didn't like wasting valuable TV time watching Goldberg. But it's, in the end, it was harmless. It was a good use of the two guys, and Drew McIntyre got what he needed to get out of it. Sasha beats Carmella in about a 6 or 7 minute match. Fine work. Sasha just deserves better. Sasha's going to hopefully WrestleMania to face maybe a Bianca Belair, maybe somebody else. But Sasha, always capable of having the best match on the card. A bad match from Sasha is usually better than most people. I think Sasha, pound for pound, the best wrestler in the company. And I can't wait to see where she goes from here. I will say, alongside Carmella, I think Reginald has something. I think Reginald, I look at Reginald the sommelier for Carmella, and I think that they don't really match. But I can see a world where Sasha goes heel. It seems like this boss character of Sasha, Reginald should be with him, or with her, excuse me. That seems like much more of a match, because Reginald is a sommelier. He's helping. He's doing all these little boss things for the boss. This should be with Sasha. Once Sasha goes heel later down the road, I'm just throwing that idea out there. Maybe I'm an idiot. The Women's Rumble, Bianca Belair goes from number three. She is a hell of an athlete. She is a hell of a wrestler. I thought the women's match did a great job of getting multiple stars lined up, getting multiple people over, because Bianca wins it, sure, but she ends up eliminating Rhea Ripley, who has a great back and forth with Bianca at the end, marched through almost the whole thing. I think Rhea Ripley came in at 14. They got to eliminate Charlotte. They got to outlast everybody, and at the end, you had two future stars fighting for the Rumble. What's better than that? That made a lot of sense. And Rhea Ripley ends up getting eliminated by Bianca. You had to choose one of them. I see a lot of reaction. I'll get to that in a minute. But Bianca is a star. She gave a great, fiery babyface promo afterwards, and you can tell she's headed to bigger and better things. And I think given 30 minutes, Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks could probably steal the show at WrestleMania. If that's the direction they're going, they could absolutely steal the show. That's how good both of them are. Kevin Owens and Roman, what do you say? Kevin Owens and Roman are two very, very professional wrestlers who are going to give you a great product every time they're in the ring. Kevin Owens has been a great stopgap feud for Roman. Roman's at the top of the game. He is the most important person in wrestling today. He is doing the best work of his career. He just needed somebody to fill his December, January airtime, and Kevin Owens has done it with three pay-per-view title shots against Roman, and each one better than the last. I thought it was very good. I thought it was a 4.5, 5-star match. But a lot of people didn't like the end where Paul Heyman couldn't get the handcuffs done, so it kind of caused a hiccup. I think that's realistic. I mean, it's not easy to get handcuffs undone. I wish the ref had been a little quicker thinking on his feet instead of just stopping the count. Maybe, I don't know. But it was a good match, and I don't think it should be marred by that. And finally, the Men's Rumble. Edge wins. I like the story of the old lion starting first and kind of having to go through the entire pride. He was cagey throughout the match. He didn't just hide. He was able to go in. He got some battles in. He won some battles. Christian coming out. I thought Christian looked fantastic. Christian and Edge, obviously one of the great tag teams of all time. you know, kayfabe brothers to start their career, best friends in real life. They have the hug in the ring, and Edge and Christian. That was, if you watch wrestling and don't feel good watching that moment of them actually hugging in the ring and the face Edge made when he saw Christian coming out, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if you should be watching this. I don't know if you should be watching anything. You should probably just stop watching things. Stop being a person, because if you didn't enjoy that, something's wrong with you as a person. Christian looked great. It looked like he's the kind of guy. He was very in shape. He went a while. Doesn't look like a one-off to me. It looks like Christian could be here to stay for a while. And while Edge is going to Mania to fight for a title, I sign me up for Edge and Christian making a tag title run later in this year. That would be incredible. I don't know if Edge is going at Drew or going at Roman. We'll find that story out, maybe start that story on Raw tonight. Again, this is Monday afternoon, and we'll get to the reaction at the end of the show. But here's where I want to talk about something else. That's my reaction. Who gives a crap what I think anyway? I'm just a wrestling fan like you guys are. I like to share my opinions, and I'm glad that you guys like to hear them. But I want to talk about the online reaction. Actually, one more thing before I talk about the online reaction. The one disappointing thing to me in the Rumble last night was when Seth Rollins returned. And I really expected, he was 26, 27, 28. He was deep in the Rumble. I really expected to hear "Burn It Down," and he comes out, and maybe he goes on to face Roman, maybe he doesn't, I don't know. I expected fiery face, "Burn It Down," Seth Rollins. Now that he's gone off, he had the paternity leave, the baby with Becky Lynch, and he had a chance. His last time we saw him was Survivor Series. His gimmick over the last half of 2020 was the Messiah, the Monday Night Messiah. I don't think that's a winning gimmick, especially on him. I think it's boring. I think it's a little low rent. It just, a wrestler as good as him is better than that, just calling themselves a Messiah and everything. So when he came out, I thought this was a great time to really reinvent the character and come back to what worked. When he came out with the Messiah music, calling himself the Messiah, that was very disappointing. I thought get a reset on Seth Rollins. I do think that needs to happen very, very soon. I think Seth Rollins needs a reset. The Messiah just doesn't work. This is more like, I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch somebody calling themselves Monday Night Messiah and he's talking in like cryptic words. No, Seth Rollins is one of the best wrestlers in the world. Just let him be one of the best wrestlers in the world. Doesn't have to have that. Anyway, let's go to the online reaction. The online reaction to any WWE pay-per-view usually mystifies me. And I'm not sitting here and saying I like every piece of business they put out. I'm not sitting here and saying I like every show they put out. There was a Raw a couple of weeks ago. I got to the end of it. I was like, wasn't my favorite. But I do generally enjoy it. I wouldn't watch if I didn't enjoy. I wouldn't watch wrestling every time it came on if I didn't enjoy. I wouldn't go back and watch shows from the 90s and the 80s and the 2000s if I didn't enjoy it. I certainly wouldn't watch the Royal Rumble if I didn't like it. The online reaction to most WWE shows, you're always going to have that group of fans that just wants you to, they want to beat you over the head with the fact that they didn't enjoy it and WWE did the wrong thing and Vince McMahon's a senile old man and they, a 37-year-old copywriter in Scranton, Pennsylvania, knows better than Vince McMahon, who's made $9 trillion on wrestling. That is an idea, a mindset that is pervasive online, that WWE can do no right. It's always bad. Everybody, if somebody loses a match, they don't lose a match. They're being buried, and Vince doesn't like them, and he doesn't see, and they never make new stars, and they never do this, and they never do that, and everything. But last night really took the cake. That was a good show. I'm sorry. If you watched the 2021 Royal Rumble and came away disappointed or mad, I just don't know what you want, because that show, from beginning to end, was a solid piece of wrestling entertainment. The women's match made not one star, two stars. Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair came out of that better than they went in. Bianca Belair is going to go to WrestleMania. Roman and Drew Roman and KO tore the house down and just brutalized each other. And the men's rumble told a very interesting story. It might not be the story you would have written. It might not be the story you wanted to hear told, but it's the story they told. And I thought it was told very well. No matter how many times I see the constant chirping of negativity online with every single move the WWE makes, I'm still shocked about it. I was reading the website where I read my recaps and everything. And I watch a show and then read recaps. I like to keep my finger on the pulse. People were saying that Rhea Ripley, who got eliminated last, was buried. No, she was made a star last night. She was somebody that pushed Bianca to the limit. She eliminated Charlotte. Like, Rhea Ripley is right where she needs to be. I saw some people saying they're mad that Edge is old. He's 47 years old, and it makes everybody look bad. No, it makes Edge look good. It makes the product look good. You had an old, cagey veteran lion who was able to weave in and out of traffic, who was able to outlast people. He didn't dominate that Rumble. He outlasted people in that Rumble. And he didn't do it by cheating. He didn't do it by guile. He just did it by absolutely going out there and using everything he had as a 47-year-old man, a veteran of the sport, and figuring out ways to last the longest. And he got the drop on Randy Orton, who tried to get the drop on him. But one of the things I laugh at the most is when people say Edge should not have won the Rumble. They don't know how to create new stars. They refuse to create new stars. This requires a level of intellectual dishonesty to believe in that it's stunning to me. To act like WWE doesn't know how to make new stars or care to make new stars, you have to watch that Rumble last night and imagine Edge and Goldberg were the only two men. You have to imagine they were the only two that got any spotlight whatsoever. Because to say that WWE doesn't know how to make stars or can't make stars or won't make stars, you have to ignore that the two champions last night, Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre, the two most important men in professional wrestling today, the two biggest stars in professional wrestling today, were made stars in the WWE system. WWE, Vince McMahon, built these stars. Now, the men did it. Roman and Drew did it. But the WWE allowed them to happen. These are homegrown stars. So for you to say Edge can't win because that means they're not making new stars, that's just saying you're lying to me, because you're ignoring the fact that Roman and Drew are on top of this business and they were made stars by WWE. So don't tell me they don't make stars. I'm looking at two of them. I'm looking at two of them. And I went into last night hoping Daniel Bryan was going to win. That's not the story they chose to tell. They chose to tell the story that Edge is going to the top of the mountain one more time, okay? Or at least going to try to go to the top of the mountain one more time. Would I have liked to see Big E win? Sure. Would I have liked to see Keith Lee win? He wasn't in it because apparently there's COVID rumors. But sure, I would have. But if you believe that the Royal Rumble is the only way to make stars, then you also have to acknowledge the fact that Alberto Del Rio won it, Shinsuke Nakamura won it, and neither achieved the level of stardom that you just would assume there would be there. No, you have to go full bore. And this year in particular, Roman and Drew have separated themselves so much from the pack. Drew is a great WWE champion. Roman is having the time of his life, doing his best work ever as a Universal Champion. It's not time to take the belt off either of those guys, especially for long term. It's not time to plug in a new guy. If you say it's time for Big E to get his push, yeah. And I trust eventually he will. But right now, those two spots are taken by guys who aren't going to give them up anytime soon. And you wouldn't be doing Big E any favors if you had him win the Rumble and then go to WrestleMania and lose to a Drew or Roman who deserve that spotlight more. You wouldn't be doing him any favors. If you allowed a new star to win the Rumble and then go to Mania and get beat, that is suicide. That is killing a guy's momentum dead. So Edge going back to the top of the mountain when there are two stalwarts at that mountain sitting on top, that story makes a lot of sense. And if you just come up with every single reason WWE is wrong, Vince is wrong, they don't make stars, if you lie to yourself and you lie to me, shut up, because you make online miserable. You make the online wrestling community miserable. I look online and I see people who love wrestling, else they wouldn't consume the content, else they wouldn't put the content out there. But it seems like online, the people who love wrestling the most like it the least. And that's fucking crazy. Let's move on to voicemails. I'm sorry, not voicemails. Let's move on to We Just Made the List.
You just made the list.
It is time for We Just Made the List, where I or a team of us come up with our top five somethings for that week in wrestling. This week is going to be an homage to the Attitude Era, as we just had Edge at 47 years old win the Royal Rumble. So I thought, with Christian coming back, with Edge winning the Rumble, why not the top five tag teams of the Attitude Era? The Attitude Era, in my mind, from early 97, probably WrestleMania 13, up until WrestleMania X7 in Houston at the Astrodome in April of 2001. So a four-year era. The Attitude Era, encompassing DX, encompassing Stone Cold, The Rock, all of that great stuff in between. Top five tag teams of the Attitude Era. Number five. Let me tell you who didn't make the list. Too Cool did not make the list. There were a couple of other smaller tag teams that did not make the list. Number five is the APA, Bradshaw and Farouk. Not really known for their tag title reigns as much as they were known for their backstage skits with the roving poker game and the bar fighting. They were just fun. They were funny. They were cool. They were badass. They were everything you wanted in a wrestling tag team. They were very, very awesome. And if it weren't for the four teams on this list ahead of them, they would be very high. But it was a tough time to crack a top five tag teams list, as the four ahead of them were all-time, absolutely all-time teams. I don't know if the APA is an all-time team. They're right at the cusp. But Farouk, Bradshaw, the APA, number five. Number four, oh, you didn't know. Well, perhaps your ass should call someone. The New Age Outlaws, and again, on any other list, they would probably be number one because they had an incredible run. Starting in late 97 when they were Rockabilly and the Roadie, and they got together, they became the New Age Outlaws, they conquered the LOD, then they joined DX, and they went off from there. Their matches were not always the best, you know, they weren't the most exciting in-ring guys, but they were excellent, excellent on the mic, they were excellent characters, and they were always part of the action. New Age Outlaws, number four. Now, the top three teams on this list, we just made the list, are almost interchangeable. They're almost equal. I don't know how you separate them. I'm going to separate them by one qualifier and one qualifier alone. But number three, I'm going to go with Matt and Jeff, the Hardy Boys. And that's just a personal preference. Any match, any tag team title match after 1999, any tag team title program, they were involved in it. Of course, the TLC matches, you can see where this is going. You know the top three right now. It's just a matter of how you order it. I personally will order it this way. But Matt and Jeff were a great tag team, and they were always I felt like they were elevated by working with other great tag teams, as the other teams were. So you could put them at number one. You could put them at number two. You could put them at number three. I personally have them at number three because I got the least mileage out of them, but it's picking nits at that point. Number two, I go with the Dudley Boys, number two tag team of the Attitude Era. They, of course, had the great start in ECW and had runs long after the Attitude Era, but their finest work happened during that microscope when they – I remember when they ended the New Age Outlaws run before WrestleMania 2000. I think it was No Way Out 2000, and I was wanting somebody to finally end that run, and they did. They captured the titles. They had a great tables match in the Garden with the Hardy Boys before the TLC matches. And, of course, get the tables, the what's up, everything was iconic. The Dudley Boys belong on any all-time tag team list. And on this one, they're number two. Because number one, I give to Edge and Christian. And back then, if you would have asked me, I wouldn't have had them number one. But looking back, their match quality, their promo quality, their ability to get a crowd riled up, their work with Kurt Angle, their sheer awesomeness, they were number one. They are the greatest tag team of the Attitude Era. And all time, because their tag team run was pretty much limited to the Attitude Era, all time you might have the Hardys and Dudleys ahead of them. But in that era, I go with Edge and Christian, number one. And here's the reason. Here's my qualifier. I felt like the Hardys and Dudleys had long, long, long runs as tag teams. Throughout decades, throughout years, they were both teams. The Hardys and Dudleys were at their very best when they were facing Edge and Christian, because Edge and Christian lifted them up to the highest heights they ever achieved. And that, for me, makes Edge and Christian number one. Those are the top five tag teams of the Attitude Era. The APA, number five. The New Age Outlaws, number four. The Hardy Boys, number three. The Dudley Boys, number two. And Edge and Christian, number one.
You just made the list.
All right. Now it is time for you to have your say. Wrestling is a podcast by a common fan for the common fans. I am not a journalist when it comes to wrestling. I am not an old wrestler. I am not Vince McMahon. I am Brandon Walker, a lifelong fan of this. And you're listening because you're a lifelong fan of it too. So we have voicemail set up. You guys can call in and you can give us your opinion. It is 202-810-4249. You can call that every single week and you can leave your message and we will get to it. This week, Aria, who has the task of going and finding these every single week, says that he's got a 12-pack for us. The biggest load of voicemails ever. So go ahead, Aria, and dump that load right on my chest.
What's up, Brandon? What's up, Aria? This is Pat from Winnipeg again. Giving you another question. Use whichever one you want. I watched Royal Rumble last night. Kevin Owens against Roman Reigns it's early candidate for one of the matches of the year. I think it was so well done. I think everything about it. Kevin Owens falling off his shit was the best thing ever. He's like a modern day Mick Foley with a little bit more athleticism. So my question is, where do you slot Kevin Owens at WrestleMania? I think he's deserved to be in a prominent role in WrestleMania. I don't think you can just leave him and forget him. So where do you think he slots for WrestleMania now that we're on the road to WrestleMania? Love the show. In fact, guys, hopefully next week. Bye.
So it's a very good question. Obviously, Edge is going to be slotted in against Roman or Drew. And who gets the other one? I mean, you can't run Roman KO at Mania. You've already run it three times. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't know what you do with KO. I if you're not going to give him one of the title matches, is there a part-timer that can come in and give him a big money spot? I mean, The Undertaker is gone as an opponent. That would have made a lot of sense. It's not like Brock Lesnar is coming back. It doesn't feel like that. So it's a very good question. I hope they do find a money spot for him, because he deserves it. Kevin Owens is somebody that every time they depend on him, he comes through and he knocks the ball out of the park. If he got shoehorned into a title match, it might not make the most sense logically, but I could see it in a real life sense of rewarding this guy who has earned it. So, Pat, I don't know the answer to your question. I don't know what you do with him. I don't think you slot him down to the IC title level, although there probably will be a multi-man IC title match, maybe a ladder match for it. So, in reality, that's probably where he would be headed. Maybe Big E, a Baron Corbin, a Mysterio, and then, of course, maybe a KO. I wish it was a higher profile. I'm just spitballing anyway. That could be totally wrong. I don't know where they slot him in right now. I hope they have paid attention, and I'm sure they have, and they know that this guy deserves a good shot this year. Let's go with voicemail number two.
Hey, Brandon. This is Cole from Bowling Green, Ohio. And I wanted to know what's your thoughts from the surprise entrance of last night's Rumble, Carlito. Man, he looked jacked. Just want to know what you think of his plans in the future of the WWE and what you thought in the early 2000s. Thanks.
So when Carlito came out, I don't know if it was 2003, 2004, 2005. It was somewhere in there, maybe a little bit later. It was definitely there in 4 and 5 and 6. I thought Carlito was a multi-time WWE champion waiting to happen. And he did look incredible. He looked great last night. I don't know about his cardio. I don't know about his in-ring stuff, but he looked good. And as they move forward, as they continue to, you know, Shelton Benjamin has come back into the company and been a great tag team champion, been a great hand in the middle of the card. I can't see why Carlito wouldn't be exactly that. I can't see why Carlito couldn't have a short-term, maybe even a long-term future as somebody. I don't know that he's signed to a deal. We'll see, but he certainly looked the part. He looked like a refrigerator with abs coming out there. Like, I've never seen him that big, but good for him. I like the surprise. Him and Christian were very good surprises. Hurricane, eh. But, again, I believe Hurricane could have been, you know, he's a producer backstage. He could have been just picking up a spot for somebody who had lost it due to COVID or something like that. But otherwise, the spots given to Carlito and Christian, they were very good surprise spots.
Hey, Brandon. This is Cam from Boston. Love the podcast. Just wanted to give my thoughts real quick on the Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble was great. Two standouts for me was Rhea in the women's Rumble, and I thought Riddle did a great job in the men's. Just fantastic. I thought they did a really good job with the whole show overall, besides Paul Heyman's stink at getting a handcuff unlocked, but what can you do? Really good show overall. Pumped for Edge, pumped for Bianca. I can't wait to see what they do at Mania. Quick question for you. What is the dumbest thing that you believed happened in wrestling when you were a kid? So, for example, for me, when I was 11 years old, I thought Santino Marella really was just a fan of the crowd that, like, got strapped for the IC title over Umaga. I legitimately thought that was real, even though it was clearly just not because, you know, wrestling. But what's the dumbest thing you believed actually happened when you were a kid? Thanks so much, and thanks for doing this podcast. We appreciate it.
That is easy. My mind went straight to 1991. Absolutely straight to 1991. A lot of goofy stuff happened in 1991. You had Macho and the snake and all that, but this was also a snake. The goofiest thing I ever believed in wrestling was when Jake the Snake Roberts was still a face and he was feuding with Earthquake, and Earthquake and Dino Bravo and Jimmy Hart tied Jake the Snake Roberts up in the ropes. They go and get the bag containing Damien, his beloved python. They put it in the middle of the ring. Earthquake jumps around. He runs, and then he jumps, and he sits on the bag, and it kills the snake. It supposedly kills the snake. Earthquake gets up. He leaves, and Jake looks in the bag, and oh, no, the snake is dead. I completely bought that. I don't think – I spent the next 10, 20 years of my life wondering, could a 400-pound man kill a giant python by sitting on it? And I never thought he could, but I always believed it anyway. And no, I'm just almost certain you can't kill a python just having by having a fat guy sit on it. But I bought it hook, line, and sinker. That's the dumbest thing I ever fell for. Let's go with voicemail number 4. Did you have something on that, Arya?
No, but I remember as well as when I was a child thinking that was insane and just worrying about the snake. I don't even like snakes. But I remember being worried.
I was so worried about the snake. I was like, please be okay, snake. Like, who cares? It's a snake. It wasn't until later I found out that Damien wasn't just one snake. That, you know, there were multiple snakes that they were just sprayed out on the road. That ruined things for me. But whatever. Let's go to the next voicemail.
this guy is very passionate, just to let you know.
Hey, Brandon, wanted to call in and express my disgust for yet another disappointing pay-per-view and the WWE's inability to properly book the biggest star in the company. Just like the rest of the WWE universe, I patiently waited through 30 superstar entrances only to be thoroughly disappointed yet again. I don't know if they're waiting for fans in the building or what, but Vince McMahon and Triple H have once again buried another superstar in the making. It's been 143 days. Since Kalisto has been on television. I thought we were finally going somewhere with the Lucha House Party movement. They gave Kalisto a goatee. They gave him ear holes and spiky hair. It was the character development he needed. And then he's just squashed in favor of slapstick, mass superstar Rumble cameos like Kane and Rey Mysterio. Royal Rumble, 0 out of 10 for me. And I'm done watching this product until they bring back Kalisto. Lucha!
I might have made a mistake doing a professional wrestling podcast. I know he's kidding, but it was executed very, very well, that call. And for about the first 40% of it, I was like, wow, this guy's really mad. Maybe he is just a huge Kalisto fan. Maybe he is. Maybe I'm just wrong. But very well executed call there. Good delivery. I enjoyed that. All right. Voicemail number 5.
Hey, guys. This is Doug from Delaware. I just want to talk about the Royal Rumble, how I would say it's easily been one of the top Rumbles, I'd say, within the past 10 years. Really loved it, especially the Women's Rumble. But my question for you guys is, now that Edge has won the Rumble, do you think he has a better chance of going after McIntyre's title or Roman's title? And which one do you think would be the better match? Thank you, guys.
I think both matches would be fantastic. To me, Edge feels more like a Raw superstar than SmackDown. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that's accurate. He's probably spent more time on SmackDown in his life, but I just, it feels like Edge and Drew makes more sense on the surface than Edge and Roman. I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe it's their styles. Maybe it's, I'm thinking Roman has, will have somebody else come along, but I believe Edge and Drew makes more sense. Now we could find out tonight that it's going to be Edge and Roman, but if I'm booking WrestleMania, I start with Edge and Drew. I work my way backwards. I see who's available for Roman, and we go from there. And I think no matter who it is, Edge is going to bust his ass and give you a great match. So is Drew. So is Roman. So I would say the match quality probably about the same because they're all going to be great. All right. Voicemail number 6.
Welcome to Wrestling is Jericho, and Barstool will never – ever be the same again. What's going on, Brandon? I know you're a big wrestling theme song guy, as am I, but I'm also a big pre-match hype video package guy. What are some of your favorite pre-match hype video packages that got you absolutely jacked for a match? Thanks.
Well, the holy grail of pre-match video packages is Austin Rock 2001 WrestleMania X7 with the My Way from Limp Bizkit. That's as good as it can possibly get. That's the greatest one they ever did. But the WWE as a company, if you had to pick one thing they do well above all else and have always done well above all else, I think it's their video packages. I think it's the production quality on their video packages. I think it's the way they can take 90 seconds, 2.5 minutes, 3.5 minutes, suck you in and tell you a story and gets you ready for the immediacy of that match. The one that comes to mind, I know 98 SummerSlam, Highway to Hell with Austin Taker had a good video package. Austin had a lot of great video packages. But again, the holy grail to me is Austin Rock 2001. 20 years, we're coming up on 20 years from that WrestleMania. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right, voicemail number 7.
Yo, what's up, Brandon? This is Desmond from California. I just wanted to call and say that the Rumble last night was awesome. But what do you think happened with Alexa Bliss? I mean, she was in the ring for about 30 seconds, about to transform, and then got knocked out. Was that a botch? I love the show. Bye.
I don't think it was a botch. To me, it feels like the beginning of a program. It feels like the seeds of something that's going to turn into a feud. Because notice who did it. Rhea Ripley, who they probably see dollar signs all over, who seems to be a star in the making. Alexa Bliss has been one of the most publicized and one of the women who's been put in the highest profile spot with this Fiend and Randy Orton thing. And you don't just throw her out in 30 seconds without a plan. Rhea Ripley looked very dismissive when she did it. I would imagine Rhea Ripley and Alexa Bliss are going to get together very soon in the future. That's uneducated. I haven't talked to anybody, but that feels like the beginning of something and not the end of something. Voicemail number 8.
By the way, I would love that. Rhea looked amazing last night. Just as a wrestler, she's killing it. She's awesome.
The only thing I worry about there is the gigantic size difference. And Alexa, obviously, yeah, would probably be the heel. And I don't know how you work that. But you know what? I mean, there's been bigger size differences that have worked. So what do I know? Next voicemail.
I was trying to leave a message for the podcast called Wrestling, I believe. This is Jesse, the Body Ventura, and I just wanted to express how happy I was for my former opponent, Edge, for winning the Royal Rumble last weekend. It was a very exciting time for me because it allowed me a distraction from the fact that our government is not only controlling the weather through HARP, but they're also engaging in a campaign of disinformation when it comes to what's happening in Myanmar right now. I can't believe that a coup like that could happen in our planet and our government sits back and does nothing. But that's for another show, maybe the Drew Garabo live show on the radio, I don't know. Anyway, I love what you're doing and what you're all about, and once again, congratulations to my former nemesis, Edge, for winning the Royal Rumble. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse the Body Ventura here, wishing you a good day, and God bless America.
Oh, boy. You know, years ago, Bill Simmons, the sports guy for ESPN, would always finish his mailbag columns by giving you a crazy mailbag thing and then giving another crazy letter, and by the end saying, yep, these are my readers. I feel like, yep, those are wrestling listeners right there. That guy has just called in. I will say this, Jesse the Body Ventura, it wasn't a terrible impression. It did kind of sound like Howard Stern sucking on the exhaust pipe of a Chevrolet. Like it was just a little bit off, but it was good. I liked the Myanmar stuff. That was funny. It was a good use of a call. Let's go to voicemail number 9.
Also, I'm leaving another voicemail. Out of all the Royal Rumbles, I think this was the 34th Royal Rumble. Would you put this in your top 10 for best Royal Rumbles? I mean, I'm 24, so I haven't seen every single Royal Rumble live, but I've seen probably 15 live on TV. This is definitely top 5 for me. The match was great. The ending was phenomenal. I'm just curious if you would say this is top 10, maybe even top 5. Thank you.
It's so hard to judge top 10 or top 5 because it's so immediate. I'm going to go ahead and rule out top 5 right now because top 5 out of 34 events is very, very tough. 2001, 1992, 2010, 2008. Just thinking off the top of my head. 2020 was great as well. This was a good Rumble, a very good Rumble, and you just hit the nail on the head. I don't know if this Rumble start to finish was as great as others, but the ending was hot as hell. The ending, it was one of the better endings I've ever seen with the way they did it so fast, with Edge eliminating somebody and then Orton showing up, great camera work there. And the Edge didn't dilly-dally. He didn't fall for it, and then he threw Orton out. The ending was very hot. It happened in the blink of an eye. Maybe it was definitely a top 5 ending for sure. As far as Rumbles, I don't put it top 5 overall. I put it top maybe back half of the top 10. As we get further away from it, I'll think about it. But last two or three, like 18 was really good. 19 was okay. 20 was really good. And this year was as good as well. So they've been on a semi-hot streak with the Rumble. Let's go with number 10, maybe 11. I don't know.
Hey, Brandon. This is Blair in Saskatchewan, Canada. Watched the Rumble last night. Thought it was pretty good. Just had a quick question about what would one thing you could change about modern wrestling be? For me, it would be that a finishing move is still a finishing move like it used to be, and you don't need to do 5 or 6 to get a win, like last night in the Goldberg-McIntyre match. So just wondering what you would change if you could change one thing in wrestling these days. Thanks. Big fan. Bye.
To me, one thing I would change, and I don't even know how to say it. I don't know how to put it in words. But I think counters in wrestling have gotten out of control. I think if you're wrestling a smaller guy, you try to powerbomb him and he always flips out. Or, you know, I like to believe these guys, and I know it's a world of fake professional fighting, but I like to believe these guys in this world of make-believe or in this world of believability, that a guy would watch his opponent and know that you can't do certain things to a smaller guy or he'll head scissor you or he'll do this. I think some of the counters upon counters upon counters often look like gymnastics routine, often looked a little too rehearsed. So I would say some of the chain wrestling back in the day meant hold to lock to hold to lock. And now it means like flying move to flying move to flying move, flip under, over flip. And it's just like, it looks rehearsed. So I would get away from that a little bit. I don't think the example of Drew and Goldberg of the finishers is a good one because those guys are going to throw bombs. I like them throwing bombs. I think in a match, in other matches, maybe it does work. So, yeah, finishers definitely don't have the power they used to have. But I would go with the incessant need to counter a counter a counter a counter. It always feels like it throws off the balance of a match. All right, voicemail number 11, possibly 12. I lost track.
This last one.
Last one.
How you doing? Good. It's Jimmy T from Queens. The Royal Rumble was a solid show, start to finish, but here are some of my takeaways. The female talent stands out more than the men. The WWE has done a great job with Roman's story build-up since he came back from beating cancer. The Twitterers have been up in arms about Goldberg's appearance, but the fact of the matter is, in wrestling, some of the top guys of the past are here to put over the new guys now. Give them some more credibility. So Goldberg, salute. And finally, dressed like that, Brandon Walker looks more like an offspring of King Kong Bundy and Peggy Bundy. Andre the Giant, woo! It's Barstool 4444 life.
Oh, I don't know why he took the shot at me at the end. Yeah, but I didn't look great in my Andre the Giant outfit. But yeah, I actually agree with everything he said. That was a good voicemail up until that point. I also like the 4444 life. I do think the women's talent stands out. Outside of Drew and Roman at the top of the game, I mean, I can point to five women who are either breaking out or on the verge of breaking out. Bayley's been breaking out a while, as has Sasha. Charlotte's always there. Asuka's been great as champion. You got Rhea Ripley, who's about to be put on the rocket ship to superstardom. Bianca Belair's on that right now. I think the women's side of WWE is as strong now as it's ever been. And that's without Becky Lynch, without Ronda Rousey, who may or may not come back eventually. So I think the women's side is very, very strong. It's not to say the men's side isn't. I just think the women's side is really shining right now. It's I'll put it like this. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I would take a break during the women's matches. I didn't like bra and panties matches. I didn't watch wrestling for that. Now, I don't take a break during anything. I watch women's matches with as much fervor, as much interest as I watch the men, because they're wrestling matches. They're not glorified exhibitions. They're not models. They are beautiful women, but they are, I mean, they're out there. They're athletes. They're doing everything their male counterparts are doing. It's just as good. So I do think the women are shining just as bright as the men right now. That was a good point. All right, we're cleaning up on Monday morning. Last night on Raw, it was something to see. It was quite an event, as you had Edge coming out and challenging Drew McIntyre. I didn't like Drew McIntyre being a little passive at the beginning, but I'm sure that's just a passing thing. I will say that I still don't know, as we sit here today, if Edge is going to take on Roman Reigns or Drew McIntyre. Later in the show, Sheamus bro-kicked Drew McIntyre and set up what looks to be a program for the next two pay-per-views. That's fine. You've got Mania in April. You have two pay-per-views before then, so you got to fill that space. Sheamus and Drew McIntyre will be a great sequence on top. It'll be a great program. Be physical. Be strong. It'll be a good couple of matches. So good for them. That's fine. Edge wins a match over Randy Orton at the end. That's good too. Keeps Edge strong as he goes forward. Alexa Bliss has black things coming out of her mouth. I don't know. This Alexa Bliss storyline, whatever. But I want to point out one guy in Raw that I think is going to break out soon. And I keep saying it. And I don't know if – I think I might be the only one in the world saying it. Every time I watch The Hurt Business, Cedric Alexander pops on screen to me. I think Cedric Alexander, his reactions, his moves in the ring, I think Cedric Alexander is going to pop off very soon and going to be a breakout star. I want to get on the record and say that in front of everybody so that when it happens, you guys can look back and say, Brandon Walker at wrestling is the greatest ever. You should be saying that anyway. Anyway, I have a couple things to say before we get out of here. First of all, AEW this Wednesday night, AEW Dynamite. I haven't talked about AEW much on the show. You know, if you've listened to the show, that is a rarity. With the Rumble happening, we haven't talked about AEW as much. They're going to have a tag team battle royal to determine the number one contender for Revolution. I assume the Revolution card is going to start really coming together. We'll see what Kenny Omega will see everywhere. Everybody is going for Revolution very, very soon. So I'm excited about that. AEW always puts together incredible pay-per-view specials. I expect this one to be no different. NXT, of course, heading towards the Dusty Classic and headed towards their next takeover, which will be Valentine's Day. I believe I'll have somebody from NXT on the show next week as we go forward. And if I played the phones correctly, I will be appearing. Well, should I say that? I could be appearing on an NXT event very, very soon. How about that? I can say that. I can say I could. You don't know what that means. But, yeah, I could be appearing on an NXT special very, very soon. Anyway, one more thing. Follow Wrestling on YouTube. Barstool Wrestling or Wrestling on YouTube. Find that page and please follow it, because it doesn't have not that many followers and it hurts my feelings, and I want everybody to follow it so that I can make a lot of money. And yeah, I love you all. I love wrestling. Next week, some big guests coming back to the show. Royal Rumble was good. I enjoyed it. And that's it. Ari, you got anything to add?
Nope.
That's why he's the best color man in the business. I'm Brandon Walker, and this is Wrestling.